It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Hello, everybody. It is a glorious Friday, at least while we're recording this. I like Elliot Shore Parks. Oh, no, not Elliot Shore Parks. Like Carson Wentz, have changed my diet this offseason, and I am feeling good and feeling great.
You're looking good, man. You're looking slender.
We're trying to get there.
Still got that voice, though.
Yeah. There was like a small part of me that goes, dude, if you start losing weight, does that mean your burliness goes away in the voice?
No.
Not
you
going
just have
anywhere.
That forever. I have a little high voice for forever. You have that manly masculine
voice. We sound a little
voice.
Sick, too.
Yeah, I feel a little sick.
Is that
sick.
Why you went to the doctor, by the way?
No. That is not why. I went to get a wart removed from my foot.
Oh,
and let me tell you,
man,
that shit hurt.
Yes. Did they freeze it off?
So it was like a plantar one, like inside.
Oh, wow.
So, well, here's the funny part. So I'm in the chair and the guy's like, oh, Elliot Shore Parks. Like, and we work for WIP. And I'm like, fuck, now I can't act like, I'm like, now I have to pretend like it doesn't hurt. I have to like act all tough.
No, I won't take the anesthetic. Thank you.
Yeah. And let me tell you, like, and people from Twitter probably get this, like, I do not have a high pain tolerance. Like, I'm a big bitch when it comes to that. So, like, he gives me...
What do you
mean?
Like, you know, even, like, the smallest pinches or something like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're out. Yeah, okay.
Like, so they have to... They put a needle in my foot to, like, numb it. And he's like, oh, it'll just hurt, like, for 2 or 3 seconds. And in my head, I'm like... Well, first, I had two options, a cream or the surgery. And I'm like, well, I can't be a bitch and pick the cream. Now that he knows who I am. So I pick the surgery. He gives me the needle, and that shit... hurt.
888-729. Well, that's the needle's not
I have my foot wrapped now and I'll be good in a few
you're
days.
Not listen don't be alone, don't beat yourself up about the low pain tolerance. Like, I wouldn't say I have a high one. Well, I'm like probably at a medium, if anything, you know.
All I know is everyone on Twitter probably has a higher pain tolerance than me.
Well, I wonder the pain tolerance after this weekend, because especially with Eagles fans, everything that has been said about Joe Douglas, he's getting this Jets job, and you were kind of on the jump, you know, while this was going on, and in Lombardi like triples down on it, and I know like we don't have a good relationship with Lombardi, and yes, the speech
Eagles
and,
fans
and so I get it, but he's been dead on about this Jets thing since 4 or 5 months ago. He knew that, you know, they were going to move on from their GM and kind of get this going. And it's basically, all it's saying is, as long as he gets control of the 53, which Adam Gase clearly is going to let him have because he doesn't really care.
Well, I think like,
that's
the
what's
going
to happen.
Well, two things. First, I think that this is going to be more of Joe Douglas interviewing the Jets than the Jets interviewing Joe Douglas.
So do I. I 100% agree.
This job is his if he wants it. He'll have to go there and feel comfortable. I think Adam Gase wants him, and Adam Gase is basically going to pick who it is. The whole Final 53 thing is funny to me, as if there's like some official card you have to fill out when you make a roster decision. Like at the end of the day, like he can say he has control of 53. He is going there as Adam Gase's sidekick.
Yes.
That would be the job, right? Yeah. Like they have decided on Adam Gase there. He's not going to ever fire Adam Gase. Like,
you don't think so? I think he could easily do that.
No. I think it would have to go really bad in New York, which it could, but don't you feel like it's kind of like when Chip hired Tommy Gamble. Or when Chip hired, I can't remember his name now.
Oh, Tom Gamble's right.
Well, but also Ed.
That's right.
From Alabama, yes. Whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah, I forgot his
name.
Like,
they were never going to fire Chip, right? So I do think if Joe Douglas goes there, he goes under Adam Gase. And that would be my biggest concern if I was Joe Douglas.
Yeah, and that is, that's something I actually didn't really think about, which is interesting. But I agree that it is 100% up to Joe whether he wants the job or not. The other interesting nugget, I don't know if you heard it or not, it was on his podcast, but he sounds like, obviously, he's a football guy, so he's downplaying the analytics yes. side of the building, and it doesn't seem like he's actually that happy kind of being around here anyway.
Joe Douglas.
Yeah, so, which makes sense. Like, you look at him, and you just understand immediately.
Yeah, him and Howie are different. But,
yes, of course. And I don't think there's a bad relationship going on. It's just like,
and I've never heard he's unhappy. Yeah. I think it's a little bit of, especially in the NFL, I don't think it's as true in everyone's profession because careers are shorter in the NFL in some ways. But if you're Joe Douglas, you want a GM job. So you probably feel antsy. You probably feel a little of like, I could be doing this, that type of thing. I don't think him and Howie don't get along. The one thing I'll say about Howie is, and I don't mean this as a criticism, but I don't think like a lot of people would consider Howie their really close friends. Like Howie is very good at what he does now. I mean, when he was fired before, it was because a lot of people didn't get along with him. So if him and Joe Douglas aren't friends, I don't think it's shocking news. And I'm not even saying they're not. But to Michael Lombardi's point, I do bet Joe Douglas wants to leave, just like everybody that's number two control in the NFL wants to leave. The question is if he wants to leave for this job.
Yeah, I think that, and this I'm just going off of feel, I have no information whatsoever, but I really do think he might be a little miffed about the block from the Texans job, because that seems like, oh my God, yes, you've given me Deshaun Watson, I can fix that O-line,
right?
I have no problem firing Bill O'Brien, even though he's a football guy or whatever.
So you think they blocked him? You don't think he just didn't want it?
No, I don't. I think they blocked him.
All right, well, yeah. That would piss me off too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's kind of built into this as well. But I'm with you though. I still don't think. You do think he takes the job at the end of the day once it's all said and done?
I'm legitimately torn. I think there's like a 65% chance he ends up the GM of the Jets. Yeah. I get you want to take the job because there's only so many there. I get that you have Sam Darnold and Quinn Williams. Like you have the structure there. But it just seems like after being in such a good franchise and organization like the Eagles, to go to one that looks like it's such a mess, I would just be worried about that if I was Joe.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine the Eagles will give him a raise and all that stuff. There'll be other jobs. I don't know. I mean, quick look around the league. Who do you think's... What teams would you look at and say might open up?
Yeah.
And it's hard to know with GMs.
I think, even though I always feel like we say this every year, I think Tampa would be a pretty good spot if they ever wise up and realize that their GM is dog shit.
Right. Well, you have nothing there, though. I mean, you can blow it up.
You know, because like it would be weird for me if I walked into a place and if Joe Douglas's thought pattern aligns at all with Adam Gase and be like, why the fuck did we give Le'Veon Bell so much money? Like, I can't maneuver that
right.
for 2 years. Like, what are we doing?
Well, and also when you look at when you want to be a GM of a team, you really make your staple with the coach, the quarterback, and like how you distribute the money.
Yeah.
And those three things are decided already.
Yes.
And they're decided almost permanently
yes.
for at least 2 to 3 years.
And I agree that like the Jets still have, even with that said, the Jets still have really good talent. And there's still a big impact that you could make there and wiggle out of because, you know, I don't think anybody's going to give Mike credit from before, be like, actually, Joe Douglas didn't do anything and that's why right. they're a playoff team or whatever. But I still would, the dreamest of dreamest jobs is to pick literally everything,
right.
you know, and that's not quite the Jets. It's still
not
the
Jets at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's still a GM job and you're going to take that. More likely 9 times out of 10. But again, it's the fucking Jets. And it looks like a disaster zone so much that I still lean that he walks away. And I got, this is the other thought I had. I wonder what everybody else in the Eagles front office that is waiting for this to happen be like, all right, Joe's out and here comes the promotion. What?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
I think they would hire from outside.
Take that.
Maybe not his exact job, but here's the other thing too. Joe's going to bring people with him.
Yes. It's going to be a little bit of a poaching battle maybe going on. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, Ian Cunningham came with him. The other guy's name's escaping me right now, the one that's traveled with him from Baltimore. So people will leave with Joe, and that'll be the bigger blow in a lot of ways in losing Joe.
Yeah, because it's Joe plus when you're going that. And, God, everybody's dying around here.
I know, speaking I'm sorry.
Of, like, can I just say, first of all, as we play the memorial taps for James Seltzer for the so what are we on, the second or third episode in a row ever
is it
since
four?
He became, it might be four now, the memorial hero that we all know, who sacrificed his body for, you know, the sanctity of his dog, which we all appreciate. And thank you so much, by the way, for like all the kind words. James really, really appreciates all the stuff, including I think it was Chad Wechter, who, sorry if I just butchered your last name, by the way, still trying to find out how to send cookies for James's face in the off season. We'll see if we can. Actually, if you want to, it's pretty easy. Just send them to the station at WIP, 400 Market Street, 9th floor, Philadelphia, PA. Google will take care of the zip because I always forget it.
I forget the zip every time. Let me say this though. Like, first of all, James, major hero alert.
Major
like
hero.
The guy's a hero. Can't believe. Like, I was trying to think about if my dog got attacked. Like, how many things I would think of before I decided to bite the dog. Like, yeah. The fact that was pretty high on his list of things to do is.
Because all the other options were out. The other dog owner was trying literally everything. And that was it. That was the last resort of just like, man, you've pushed, you've pulled, you've done,
yeah,
you know,
you've kicked,
like,
right?
You know,
but it's a manly move. It I don't is. Know if I would ever even cross my mind to bite.
Here's my only complaint. He's done three High Hopes pods.
Well, I mean,
and he has not said to the people what, like, I'm waiting for him to tell the actual story.
I think the Go Bird listeners need to tweet at James.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Just say, hey, pal.
We miss you.
We miss you. We need you back on the pod.
We miss the voice.
Yes, exactly right. And speaking of missing things, as we'll get into Jeffrey Lurie and the Shields article, which I thought was really insightful on kind of, and it actually made me really appreciate Jeffrey Lurie a lot more, and I'll tell you why in a second. But just for a quick OTA on Monday, which is what we're waiting for.
Yes.
You think that Malcolm is not going to show up for...
Well, mandatory isn't until the 11th, I believe,
yes.
of June.
Oh, yeah, I'm skipping, still skipping yeah, long yeah. ahead. He's not going to be there on Monday.
No, but, yeah, no. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be a mandatory. I think that he has an absolute right to be upset about his contract situation. And look, he's not like grossly underpaid, but he worked with them 2 years ago to help them get salary cap space. And he benefited from that, but he still worked with them. He didn't have to. He's the most important player on their defense, in my opinion. He's irreplaceable on the roster, and this team has to win now. And he's not so old where he's not 35, 36. I mean, they've restructured Jason Peters' deal. Jason Peters has never really taken a pay cut even this year.
Yeah, and he made what? Like a guaranteed $10 million?
Right. If I'm Malcolm, I'm saying you need
me. That's all you need to
do. You need me. You can't replace me. So I'm not coming. And $80,000, I think, is what he can get fined potentially if they decide to for the mandatory minicamp. For me, making this statement, it's easy for me to say, right? I mean, it's not my money.
Yeah.
But I think the potential of making that statement, making it a big deal, you don't want an unhappy, unmotivated Malcolm Jenkins. That's the last thing you want. He is the emotional leader of that team. Like, one of the advantages of access is just being in that locker room and seeing the vibe of the team. Malcolm is the leader of that team. They can give out five captain patches, whatever. Malcolm is the leader of that team. And to have him potentially upset with the organization or to not be at mandatory mini OTAs and that type of thing, it's not a good look. And so I think that they have enough salary cap space to do it. Whenever fans talk about salary cap space, they go, oh, how he'll figure it out, how he'll figure it out. But now all of a sudden they're like, Malcolm might not. Well, I shouldn't say fans are saying that. Some people are saying Malcolm's not worth it. They have the money to do it. They have the incentive to do it. They should just get it done and get him back there.
I wonder if this is just like a date thing that I don't understand in terms of like, well, we give him money now as opposed to, or after June 1st as opposed to before June 1st and how that affects it.
I don't think so.
I haven't heard any theories about that, but yeah. I
mean, potentially Carson.
Yes. Right? Well, and that too. You know, we got to announce Carson first, and then you, or
hold the money to deal pay
in.
Carson.
Yeah, that's true too. Or right. lock Carson into a deal, announce Malcolm, then announce Carson, and everybody's
something
happy.
Something like that.
Yeah. So whatever it is, Malcolm's going to be there. Whether he's, I mean, for the season, I think, right?
Yeah, I would think so too. But I would also say Malcolm is like, look, I don't think he's going to walk away from football. Don't get me wrong. But if I told you anybody on the Eagles walked away from football out of feeling disrespected, would not Malcolm be?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
he's so.
And he's already proven a lot in the game to be like, okay.
He's a lot of money. Know. I mean, look, Malcolm's going to be there. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying if I'm the Eagles, I don't mess with this situation.
Like, yeah.
Get Malcolm
either.
Happy and just get it over with.
Yeah. Same. Even if you don't agree with it, you got to take care of him. You know,
if for years they had been stocking up young players and assets and were building with an eye on the future, then yeah, I could see their argument of not paying Malcolm. But when you operate the way you do, which is pay older players all the time, pay to win right away to build a win now roster, not to mention your quarterback badly needs a trip to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And look, safety is a position that you can argue how important it is in the grand scheme of football. I would go as far as to say if they don't have Malcolm Jenkins, they might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and that I think is always going to be an arguable thing or a debatable thing. But like when you're talking about a certain player, it you can wipe all that out. And Malcolm's one of those guys.
Yeah,
like he's still.
Look how hard it was to replace Rodney McLeod last year.
Yeah,
it took weeks to figure that out.
Yeah.
And Malcolm is way more important. I remember last year in training camp, I was talking to the safety coach Tim Hawk, and I asked flat out, "What would you do if Malcolm got hurt?" And his answer was, "Change the entire defense."
Yeah, and you have to.
They have nobody to step in. I mean, although let me.
Avante probably would make it a little
easier.
That's
what I was going to ask you. Is Avante the next Malcolm?
I think, yes. Of course, if he stays on this trajectory, too. And there's a little piece of me, and I'm still in that camp of put Maddox on the outside and let him fail at it before you move him back to slot or safety or whatever.
Agreed. But Malcolm's role is pretty important, obviously.
Yes.
So.
But at the same time, like. Avante already showed in a lightning bottle in one of the toughest situations, too, in playoff football and the rest, that, hey, I can play all three positions.
Yes.
I don't care where I go. Just put me on the field. And that's still my biggest priority for a lot of these guys. And I know the Inside the Birds guys has actually mentioned it, too. But I just want to ask you, do all of these DBs make it out of training camp? And are they all on the roster week one? All the same names that we're used to. Your Darbys, your Mills, your all that.
The top
stuff.
Six.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Barring an unreal trade offer, which is possible, I think the Eagles, one thing they've preached this offseason at every position is depth. And about if you want to play, I think they say 19 games, 16, and then the three for the playoffs. If you want to play 19 games, you have to be deep. And no position taught them that more than cornerback last year. So, and especially with the whole Malcolm thing and the fact that a lot of these guys can play safety too, and you don't have a lot of great backup safeties. Would they trade Rasul Douglas or Jalen Mills for a second round pick? Yes. Are they going to get a second round pick offer for them? No. And so I don't think you're going to get an offer good enough to make you move on from those guys. So in my opinion, they will all be here, especially because Darby probably won't play week one. More than likely. He's gone. Jalen's not even practicing yet. Sydney's a question mark. Rasul Douglas is there and Avante's there and Cravon LeBlanc is there. But if you take away Darby and Mills as like injury concerns, you're only looking at four.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't trade any of them. I don't think they will.
Neither would I. Does that mean that Rasul Douglas actually has a shot at starting the year?
Until Darby gets healthy.
Right? That'll be one thing I think we'll all be kind of looking at throughout this process until training camp. And what was the other thing I was going to ask you? Oh, right. I just wanted to jump back to Malcolm for a second.
Yes.
I think it's hilarious of the honor the contract people, right, that for the longest time, because you had said something about, you know, trying to, when talking to the safeties coach and be like, I'd have to change the entire defense if Malcolm isn't there. How is it that as Eagles fans, and I'm not saying that Malcolm Jenkins is Brian Dawkins, but we all remember what happened, right? And then we went through names upon overreaches and drafts to find a suitable replacement for Brian Dawkins, and it took years, and the Saints being so dumb with the cap that they couldn't afford Malcolm Jenkins anymore. And now he's here, and he's been one of the best players, the most consistent player on defense since he's been here through.
He's extremely outplayed his contract in every single way. Yeah.
And I'm just going like, what are we talking about? It's ridiculous. Anyway, getting to Shields' piece on Jeffrey Lurie, loved for a bunch of different reasons. I always think, for the most part, that when corporations or sports teams or anybody else really kind of gets involved in charities, I always question a lot of it before I actually buy into, oh no, I do really care about this. And for the longest time, not that it was, I'm saying just like out of non-genuine stuff to go and have the autism challenge, which I think is awesome, but to hear Jeffrey Lurie's story for the first time about his brother and, man, not going to lie, the Dick Vermeil of this podcast, me, got choked up many times reading, you know, his experience and finally like hearing his brother speak just through a keyboard for a long time. Because I got to tell you, that is one of the most amazing moments. If you know anyone and you're close to anyone that has autism that is nonverbal and you're going, oh my God, like I can communicate with you. I would have flown back from Los Angeles myself to go and experience this because you can actually figure out, you know, what's going on. And the way he described it as like a puzzle that you haven't unlocked yet, like I was bawling on the train. I was going like, oh my God, yes, 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 yes. Exactly, exactly, exactly.
People probably thought you were watching Sidney Jones highlights or something.
Maybe I was. They might have slipped in there.
Yeah.
But overall, obviously the funniest part of that is the biggest mistake over 25 years is giving Chip Kelly total control.
They don't win the Super Bowl if they don't hire Chip.
Yes, Elliot. Right? I mean, oh my God. I want to hug you. We agree I have said this on many podcasts. I'll say it again. Thank you, Chip Kelly, for everything. From the coverage to the back and forth to me, like, fucking quadrupling down on Sam Bradford like an idiot.
Well, it's not just that. It's that, look,
all of it.
It made them value different things in a head coach, which led them to Doug. Uh-huh. It made Howie... Look, I get Howie's reputation in the city is flawless now, but there's a reason he was removed.
Well, like, no, we killed him.
He had
on
never
this
won
podcast.
A playoff game prior to that. So it made him a better GM. And not only that, a lot of the stuff that they ran with Nick Foles that led to that Super Bowl had some Chip Kelly components to it. So,
and where'd it come from? Deuce?
Deuce, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I it made everything for the better.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Chip was a disaster in a lot of ways.
Yeah, of course he was.
But it's like a lot of things in life. Like, everything happens for a reason. And Chip Kelly was an important part of this team winning the Super Bowl.
He changed the NFL, too. I just want to point that out. There is not a person that doesn't run some style of his offense. No, he's not the originator of it.
And now he's a complete train wreck.
And now he's a complete train wreck in UCLA and trying to figure it out. And I don't care. I'll love him forever.
It's so wild how quickly it fell apart for him.
Yeah.
Like, just a disaster now.
Exactly. But I still love everything about that 2013 season. That was like a nice little parting gift to see all those guys together and to run an offense which they should have been running in 2010.
I still remember being in the press box the first night of Chip Kelly's game in Washington, and when they scored like what 28 first half points.
Yeah,
I remember thinking like I'm like literally watching history.
Yes,
and it fell apart very quickly. Yes, I also remember being in Detroit on Thanksgiving when they got their fucking top blown off.
Oh my God,
so,
remember that. Yeah.
You know, it was their highs and lows with Chip, but that being his biggest mistake isn't surprising. I mean, where else really has Lurie messed up?
Yeah,
he's been
not often.
No controversies. Yeah. No.
And I remember reflecting on that after the Super Bowl win and like all the shit that he took for like the gold standard and oh, is this really the gold standard? You know, and it takes a lot of figuring out.
I mean, how many teams in the league have a better combination of a great reputation and winning?
Yeah, no, and they
is there any? In all seriousness,
and no, there isn't.
I mean, the Patriots obviously
outside of
have
the big guys. Yes,
but I'm saying the Patriots obviously have the winning, but they've certainly been involved in their fair share of controversies.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
The Eagles have never been involved in one, and they're probably over the last 5 years pretty high up on the all-time wins. Or no, not sorry, more than five. Like, you know, I'd imagine they're top five in the last 20 years in wins.
Yeah, they are
winning
and
percentage.
They dominated that entire decade. You know, when McNabb and Reed and stuff were here, like that was the right call, and it was kind of a nice life lesson too. There's a guy that had majors in philosophy and TV and film and all this other stuff, and he was in different businesses and the opportunity presented itself and he's like, I could have overthought the hell out of this, and if I was now, I probably would rethink it or whatever, and he just went for it. And I was like, yes, because you just gotta fucking do it every now and
again.
Well,
the interesting thing about Lurie too is what I've gotten to know about him since I started covering the team is he's extremely forward thinking and he's very willing to listen to people around him. And I think the longer I'm around football, those are the things you need to succeed. I mean, we brought up Chip. That was Chip's problem. He really just ran his own stuff. Doug listens to people. Doug, you know, is willing to say, Frank Reich, I'll let you you know, make this call. He listens to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. Chip was not like that. And Jeffrey, I think that's why everyone in the Eagles organization kind of is. Jeffrey preaches that. And Howie, that was Howie's biggest fault prior to being fired. He was not easy to work with.
Yeah.
Howie's easier to work with now. He's a better listener, I believe. That's why Joe Douglas has lasted here as long as he has. And Doug's the same way. And I think Lurie, what comes across in that piece too, is he's just like a genuinely good guy. I'm not going to pretend I know every part of Jeffrey. Like I only see him in the Novacare. But he seems like a genuinely good guy that has genuine good morals. And because of that, the autism challenge, that's a real thing. Like the way he runs organization is it's just a good organization. Like I'm there every day. Like it's a good place to work. So it's impressive what he's done.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of crazy to think that you might have like a second line of Lurie coming in there with his son, like maybe taking over at some point and so on and so forth. The last thing in that article that I will finally go, thank you, is where he rolls his eyes about establishing the run.
Yeah. Well, I know you probably like that.
I fucking love it. Thank you. And this is, it just got me thinking about all of that, because if you do believe Lombardi in like the analytics side and there's trying to still merge that together, you can clearly see that in football. And honestly, if you follow any of the great football guys and or analytics guys on Twitter, it is going to be, I don't know why, but we are having such big debates about analytics in football, and I don't understand why.
Well, it won't be a debate.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just it is information. All of it is information. It all goes into the same cog, and I think that's what the Eagles have done. Howie's described that many times. It's you're taking both sides, you're fucking putting it in a blender and going, well, what do we got?
It's funny when people are like, well, I don't like analytics because I don't understand them. Like, well, you're just lazy.
You know, yeah. Like, that's it's like, just I don't understand all of them either, but I ask questions. You know?
Analytics are just facts. That's all they are.
Yeah.
They're just facts.
It's presenting. It's just like, well, that can't be true. If you look with your eyes, like, yeah, I understand.
Well, it's definitely true.
Yeah. But I will say, I don't like, they do kind of ruin the game a little bit in terms of fanness. I
don't think so.
Whatever.
Well, like, the fourth downs they go for. That's exciting.
No, I don't mean in that. It's just like the well actually crowds that throws it in. It's just like,
yeah,
come on, guys, just have a little fun. It's okay.
I think it's more in baseball than football.
Oh, no, that's true. I've said that for many times, where it's just kind of taking the casual, just enjoying the sport out of it as well. So anyway, yeah, establishing the run can go to hell. It's important. I'm just saying. And there's now. Oh, that's what I was laughing at, because there's a debate about body blows. And how much that I don't know. It just kind of went into a ridiculous little tantrum there. Let's get into the mail take bag real quick, because I know you, my friend, have got to go to Carson Wentz's charity event, right? The AO1.
Stefan Wisniewski won the home run derby last year. We'll see who wins it this year.
I kind of like him this year, too.
I thought Zach Ertz would be better at baseball.
Yeah?
Like, he was like my number one pick, and he was okay.
Yeah?
I was hoping he'd be better.
Man, do you hear that? Hear that, Zach? Just remember, next time you're in the locker room.
You're the hater, not me.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, because I wanted him traded.
Yeah, you're
something
the hater.
Like,
yeah.
From Matt Delgado, Sanders plus or minus 600 total yards
plus
this season. Think so? I wouldn't be shocked if it was just under.
I mean, 600's not a... Well, yeah, I would go plus.
Does that include special teams?
No.
Okay.
I think it just includes rushing and receiving.
I might say slightly under. Depending.
It's a good number.
If Jordan Howard stays healthy, I should say.
It's a good number.
It's a good number.
He'll hit that number if he does good as a receiver. Like, that's the key. Otherwise, he's not going to get 600 rushing yards, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's well under that. And that's the only reason why my holdup is. I want to see him
catch the ball.
I might change my opinion after training camp, but we'll have to see on that. Quick food take from Nick Akes. We got into a large debate of
Are you debating
wings.
Him on the Go Birds account?
Oh, of course I am.
I hope these takes accurately depict what
it's
James
just saying.
Though.
It's just.
No,
it's,
I'm just kidding.
food take, lemon pepper wings are trash. That's my 2 cents for the day and looking forward to
Well, that's a bad
the
take.
I think that's a bad take,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's a bad take.
As in
they're certainly not trash. Yeah. I'm not saying they're the best, but they're certainly not trash.
And it got me to actually write down my top 10 real quickly from 10 to 1. Plum, mango habanero, buffalo, lemon pepper, sweet chili, sriracha, jerk wings, teriyaki, garlic parm, Nashville hot, number one.
All right, well, so some of those are extremely specific, but the fact you came up with 10 is pretty impressive.
Well, you know, look at
me. I mean, buffalo with blue cheese is definitely the best.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
It's a basic know. In me just loves it.
Also, we got into a real thing about like Wingstop, and I always see their commercials, and they're never around Philadelphia.
Isn't Wingstop attached to Pizza Hut? Am I wrong?
Oh,
about
is it?
That?
I don't know if that's the case.
No, I think I'm thinking of something. Well, oh, that might be Wing Street.
Oh, Wing Street. Yeah, yeah, that's what you're thinking of. Yeah, which is different. Chuck Sips, JJ will be the new Goddard in that fans will be clamor for Doug to use him more with more flash after he flashes more brilliance out on the field.
I can see that. I mean, he already has a really nice touchdown catch in OTAs, and the practice have been open to the media.
Yeah.
I think I could see him becoming, look, he's tall and a receiver, so that checks off two major
and
boxes.
Red zone.
So yeah, that's so all that's all that's you need.
Bingo.
But yeah, I could see that.
From Dark and Stormy Flint, Flintlock 97, question, what D-N would you trade for to finish what could be an elite defense?
What D-end would I trade for?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what? Who would be? Is there a D-end out there that you would tell Howie go get this guy? Well, and other than Clowney, I'll say.
Well, I mean, like,
I don't think
anybody in the league. I don't. Yeah, I mean,
I
like
know.
Khalil Mack. I mean,
oh yeah, sure,
right. But
sure
I have to think about
also,
it.
Also, a quick point on Khalil Mack and the Bears: the number one most bet on to win the Super Bowl is the Chicago Bears. And let me just say,
they
even
are
though
not winning
Twitter,
the Super Bowl.
If you bet on Mitchell Trubisky to go win a fucking Super Bowl this year, you deserve to lose your money. That's all I'm going to say.
Agreed.
Take Barnett will finish this year as the second in sacks on the team.
I would hope so.
I know you don't agree with it, though.
Well, but who else would it be? Oh, on the whole team?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
Who do you
I would think Brandon
second.
Graham. I think Malik Jackson has a good chance to be second.
Interesting.
Fletcher Cox had how many last year? 10, 9.5,
something
like that.
There.
So yeah. I don't think Barnett will get there. So I don't think he'll finish second.
Did Ben Simmons make a three, which is still one of my favorite counts. What is your opinion of Shannon Sharpe's nickname for Carson Wentz with Walk It to Wentz, as in terms of...
That's terrible.
Walk the MVP to him. You better walk that over to him.
So it's like, it's his slogan or a nickname?
He keeps saying it on First Take.
I mean, I
Not
like
first
it.
Here, is it First Take? What is it? Undisputed. Sorry.
Here's what I'd say. Carson Wentz should be expected to win the MVP.
Wow.
That's my take on that. He has the team around him. He has the narrative around him. And he should have the skill.
Yeah. I don't disagree now.
Yeah. I mean, he has the narrative aspect. He has the talent around him. He plays in a major market. Like, he should be expected to win the MVP.
Kaliko Pat Aguilar will finish the season with the best stat line out of the wide receivers. I don't think that's crazy, actually. And his reasoning, he goes, Nelly's in a contract here, got a lot to prove. Deshaun should open him up in the middle of the field. Everyone can eat, but Alshon and Deshaun pop up on the injury report a little too much.
Yeah, and Wentz and Alshon haven't played that great together.
Yeah,
it's a good take.
It's a good take.
Yeah.
And let's see. We've got a couple of more in here. Is Carson Wentz... Carson Wentz for MVP is at 20-1 odds right now. Is that a good bet to take? And more importantly, since an avocado is a fruit, does that make guacamole jam? That's from Frank Comfort 07. Hello, Frank in Canada, he should
say. It's a good question.
I can't disagree.
Yeah, you can't disagree.
So hashtag guac jam.
It's definitely not jam, but I mean... You could convince me it is.
Yeah, because if you did the... Well, if you...
Like, let's be real.
Because
it's not
ketchup,
jam.
Ketchup is then jam. Which, I mean, it's not crazy because tomatoes
are irrational
fruit.
Hate for ketchup.
No, it's not irrational hate. I'm just saying, like, ketchup actually was born out of a lot of different fruits, and then Heinz was like, nah, we're just going to do tomatoes.
It's kind of like the thing with is a hot dog a sandwich? Like, we all know it's not a sandwich. Like, you can contort your point to convince me, but deep down we all know it's not a sandwich. Just like we know guacamole is not a jam.
Well,
it's creative.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I also heard Trey and Ben over at the Draft Network debate if lemonade was a juice.
Well, it's definitely a juice.
Right, because it contains sugar, it's water, so you're getting the...
You drink it, it's not water, and it's not soda. Like, what else?
I guess there's natural sweetness in them, so there's not natural sweetness in lemonade.
What else would it be?
Just lemonade, a beverage.
Well, it has to fall into some type of category.
I guess. I never thought of it. I was like,
it's
I guess it could
juice.
Be a juice, right?
Yeah.
And then at @E_creator, although he still goes by Rolling Idiot. I don't know why, because my boy, Arcega Whiteside will score more than 5 touchdowns this season. Agree or disagree?
I have to go under just because rookies never produce as much as you think, but I like the enthusiasm with that, and I could see him getting close to it.
I think there's a... I don't know where how the touchdown, like Carson Wentz going to have to throw a lot of touchdowns for a lot of the numbers that people are throwing out there. Like Super Bowl year, everybody had what? 9998 or something like that, or 989 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Carson's going to have to, for that to work out.
You have 40 plus.
Yeah. Carson's going to have to 45 to get those numbers, which, hey, you know, if you're on the line.
How about this? More higher number. J.J. Arcega, Whiteside touchdowns.
Yeah.
Games missed by Carson Wentz due to injury.
Ooh. I'll take the touchdowns.
All right.
I'll take the touchdowns.
I don't know which one I'll take. I just think it's a good one, though.
Yeah, that might be a good gambling one. Well, as always, you can find us on the twitter.com and at IG at GoBirdsPod. And you've got to get out of here, my friend. So
I'm going to watch Carson play some softball.
Well,
coach some softball.
I think I want to start doing this now. The last take instead of final thoughts. Give me, and it can be anything you want. Give me your last take.
Actors are completely replaceable and they're basically all the same. You sub any actor in for any movie and it's basically the same movie.
I fucking highly disagree. Because I can't see Kurt Russell playing Han Solo.
You only think that because you see Harrison Ford in that role. If you initially saw Kurt Russell in that role, you would feel the same way about that.
No, because I've seen like all the other work that he did in the late 70s and early 80s and like
No, you know, it's the same thing. From it's New just York like and all it's that. Writing, it's directing, it's makeup, like the actors, it's like they're all the same.
Do you mean like people that can actually act or like you can go grab an actor off the street and it wouldn't matter?
I mean like someone who would call their profession an actor. Somebody who like makes enough money to live off of acting.
Okay, which is like 0.04.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people, Hollywood. But I'm just saying like this whole idea when people, I love when people are like, oh, I saw this movie. Such and so was so good in it. Like, you don't really know what you're talking about. Like all actors are basically the same. other than Heath Ledger in like Batman, what's the other time you saw something you're like, that guy was phenomenal in it and it actually mattered?
A lot of times.
Nah, James, I don't think so.
If James would hear, oh, he would
I,
fucking
oh,
flip
oh, I've
out
already
right
debated
now.
This with
oh,
James.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he
yeah,
probably
yeah,
was
yeah.
livid. I would have loved
yeah,
to see
his
face.
Yeah, he was not happy.
Again, you can always just, you know, tweet at him, say we miss him, because I would like
oh,
that.
Oh, actually, one more too. Thing. Yeah. I told Adam Kaplan this when we were at practice, and you want to know his example of the actor that he chose?
What's that?
Chevy Chase.
Because he loves Fletch so much.
Yeah, that's what he brought up. Yeah. I've never even seen that movie.
What? You've never seen Fletch? All right, no. That's another problem.
No. But it's just so funny. Of all the actors, like I've told other people, they're like Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio, like Denzel Washington. And he's like
Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Something else
yeah.
out there.
He's like
Chevy Chase is an interesting one. Because like I could easily see Bill Murray as Fletch. Like that would have been, you know.
Sure, I've never seen the movie. I'm sure anyone could do it. Yeah.
That's
comedy.
Incredible.
How hard could it be?
You need to go and do it. This is for the nerds. Nintendo has always pretty much sucked. Like,
oh, that's a bad take.
Outside of NES, Super NES, everybody just buys into the nostalgia of it. Everybody loves the Switch. Everybody loved the Wii. It's all crap. The best games are clearly never on Nintendo.
Well,
they
the
never
Wii
have
was
been.
Trash.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. I'm just saying. N64, all of it. Everybody gets upset. Oh, Mario Kart and duh. It's not that good of a game. It's wow. It's a fine game. It's a fun game you can play with everybody. Yeah, it's a something that you can take. Like pretty much every Sega, Microsoft, and Sony product has blown it out of the water since the 90s, the
Look,
late
it's
90s.
A bad take, but I respect it.
I'm just saying, you know, and there's always Nintendo people, and they always like, I don't understand how you can take pictures of fucking Pokemon.
Yeah, well, I did have that game.
You
though.
Did?
I don't remember. I feel like I bought it, never learned how to play it, but I definitely had it.
Oh, my goodness. Real quickly, the reviews, as we promised, and so I'm all kind of out of order, but you will love this one, and we'll do
I think
plenty,
I know which
more.
One is gonna be
yes huge fan. I've got a hot take. This
yes,
is from
here
Shane
we go. Yes.
B1118. First of all, I love the pod. I have to take I have a take for you that might go against a popular opinion. I say Elliot Shore Parks almost has a better and more accurate takes than Barchard's.
Yeah.
More often than not, Elliot has sound logic behind his takes. Definitely not always, hence his Alshon take. And sometimes I feel like Barchard says things just to say them. He asked for takes. You asked for takes, John, and there's mine. Seltzer is still the best, though. Keep up the great work. And the Spice Girls were fire back in the day.
They were.
Here's the thing.
And let me tell you, they tore it down in Ireland.
Now, normally I would react to like that's bullshit, but actually I agree. I don't disagree. This is the thing with Elliot. Everybody gives him shit all the time, but at the end of the day, I'm including myself in this, Eagles fans don't want to hear bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny how many people say to me, I'm annoying on Twitter, but then on the pod, they're like, you actually make some sense.
Yes, I know, because Twitter is the place for my, and I will say, I agree with everything except for, I feel like Barcher just says things to say things. Not true.
Nobody says things just to say things.
Those things enter my brain. My problem is, I'm a goddamn thought machine, just like Twitter has ruined it, because it just, it's the same thing from brain to fingers, it's brain to mouth.
Well, one thing we can all agree on, James is the best.
James is always the best.
James is the best.
Of this pod. And again, you can go review, subscribe on iTunes. We will go through all the reviews, 5 stars, and then you can say anything. That's how you get
exactly
on the
right pod.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. You, my friend, have to go. I've got to go because there is some beer drinking to be done. It's the weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday live from NovaCare as we react to everything that's going on Monday, Monday OTAs. For Elliot Shore Parks, I'm John Barchard. This has been the Go Birds Pod episode number 79 right here. Radio.com, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Go Birds.